Okay, everyone, conversation. Can we stop the conversation? This could be a long, long agenda. So let's begin with a, I'll entertain a motion to accept the minutes. Can we have a motion for discussion?
I'm not sure if we just
Okay. Any discussion?
Yes.
Okay.
Tiny little changes.
Okay.
On page. An economically viable market. And which is the sixth line down. And then the last paragraph, I think she noted this would disincentivize the garbage and incentivize recycling. And then the discussion in a couple lines down. The discussion should be undertaken until
motion to in the end of the, before the RRA report, says Chairman Bartels and Legislator Ronk noted that they objected to the 4% increases at the board meeting. Legislator Ronk wasn't at that board meeting. So however you want to word it, but I objected at the meeting, but Legislator Ronk definitely is opposed. So however you want to get that across, or just to be accurate, to be at that meeting. Any other input on the minutes? Okay, so all in favor of the minutes? Question? Alright. Alright, and moving on. The first resolution on the agenda. Is resolution number 314, setting a policy for county-owned vehicles to utilize alternative fuel sources. Everyone got on Friday the full documentation that the chairman had. We didn't print it out because it was over 100 pages. So, okay, we only have 7 times to review. So let's open discussion. Chairman Parry, do you want to start?
Well, I've been interested in this for a long time. I have to be honest with you, maybe it's in these files. Because I spoke to you today, I'm very busy, and I wanted to bring in like a letter from the former governor back in 2000 saying the state was going to implement these policies and the county should be. And other documentation, but I don't know where it is right this minute. You know, after our conversation today, I just wanted to read a couple things, if I might, because I really believe that we're way behind the curve in starting to consider it. And if you look at some of the whereases, this is where Ulster County was behind the curve. I guess that's where I got that from. In the use of alternatives to gas as a fuel. Whereas the next one, examine the economic viability of natural gas, hybrid, and electric sources. It's not just limited to any one type, but we have to start somewhere. And whereas the sheriff has agreed that he wants to try to cooperate in this and has put in his budget of funding for an alternative source using LPN. This is not dictating the type of alternative fuels, but it is saying that by the year 2020, we should have in place 50% of our vehicles using alternative fuels for both economic reasons and for environmental reasons. And the only way we can get there is to do some studies. Now, I got a letter that talks about some county smart committee or environmental smart committee or something like that that I think Manna Joe is on. And I read the minutes, and, you know, what's his name, Leonard, has been working with me on this stuff. And I see he mentioned that we were working on it. So this is not a surprise. I also mentioned it in my speech when I got this job, that one of the things that I wanted to deal with was this. Now, I don't have any problem, Tracy, quite frankly, prolonging the discussion, as long as it's positive. If not, I like to, you know, cut the tumor out and get it over with, you know? So, having said that, I think this just lays the groundwork. I believe something like this would have to go to laws and rules then to say, well, no, now let's become a little bit more specific on what you want to try to do. I think it would be just as wrong for me to say I only want to do a pilot sort of study on LPN, just like I would be wrong for me to say I don't want to do one on LPN. I think we have to all explore it all, because this is a process that is evolving. What is not acceptable today may be acceptable in the future. And I'd love to see nothing else than to do a couple of pilots, say this one really worked good and this one didn't work good. Now, why did I mention that the sheriffs talked about the LPN? Because of the vehicles, they're very mileage specific. If they had to bring people to other institutions, there's filling stations along the way that are already there and in existence. For police vehicles, they've been used around the country, and we have that documents and probably some of the stuff that you may have gotten, where they're using it, they're using LPN and to transport prisoners in particular. We looked into electric, and it just wasn't really suitable for those kind of vehicles at this point. We looked into a compressed natural gas, and the problem with that is it takes up too much space. You have to have a tank in the back seat. Because the LPN, we do have the pumping facilities. So a vehicle, let's say that was small enough that didn't need passengers, could use that as an experiment in a pilot, because the state of New York has a filling station. You know, and one of the drawbacks is cost so much, like $1 million to get the filling station. You don't have to spend that. There's two of them in Ulster County.
For the
one in New Paltz and one in... Pardon?
For LPN you're talking about, or for certified natural gas?
No. For compressed natural gas.
Compressed.
The LPN, the supplier will bring the equipment to the jail or wherever it was decided that the pilot was going to take place. Go ahead, Rich.
I just want to say a quick comment, and Tracy, I had mentioned this to you when we spoke earlier. I was just Googling a lot of some of the information on this stuff, and it's just appropriate with Tim and Charlie and Leon being here. It said, one of the websites I went to said 80% of garbage trucks run on LP, the liquid, which one was it?
Liquid.
The LPG, 80% of new garbage trucks that are purchased in this country, apparently, or in this state, whichever website I was reading, are LPG. LPG is good for bigger transport vehicles. You wouldn't buy a Honda Civic with LPG. You wouldn't right now. You wouldn't buy a Ford Taurus with LPG, but you would buy a van to transport prisoners with LPG. You would buy a garbage truck with LPG. You would buy work vehicles with LPG. That's what a couple of the websites I was reading was saying. For the cost effective, maybe, I don't know why, but I thought it was interesting to say all these garbage trucks are now, that's what they're using, and 80% of them. So maybe something that you guys can look at, you know. So.
And, I could go on. I believe it's cost effective. I believe it's environmentally a very positive thing. May not be as positive as electricity, but at this point, we have to study it. But of course, the more electricity you use, the more powerful the generating facilities have to be. And I read the letter that I got about fracking, and the more you use electricity, I guess if you're against anything that might promote fracking, you would take, let's say, the new dam scammer plant and put coal in it, because you know, if you use LP or natural gas, according to the letter, that would be promoting fracking, which is just not true. And I want to go one step further. Propane's been around, was invented or discovered in 1910. And once I have the entire history of it, that, you know, 1910, 1912, 1915 for automobiles, all the way through to 1990s, when the EPA, with pressure, assistance, and support from Congressman Maurice Cinci, made natural gas something that we all should be very seriously looking at. And we arrived at this because we had a cooperative department head who said, sure, I'll do that. We had meetings. You know, his guy said, what about they shoot bullets through it? Well, it's less flammable than gas. And generally, the tanks don't get pierced quite that easily. But if it was pierced, it just flows out. It doesn't explode. It doesn't do the movie stunt stuff. The conversions, all those things are pretty easy.
Can I ask a question? Well, first, let me start an open discussion for you. But I want to first say that I'm thrilled that it's here that someone put something on paper, because we have been talking about it incidentally in this committee for as long as I've been here, which is, you know, with an interruption, even back, you know, 10 years ago, we were talking about wanting a green vehicle policy. So I'm thrilled it's here. I'm thrilled you put it on paper. It starts the discussion, and I only want to talk positively. I have no desire to cut out a tumor. I mean, this is a great, great, great initiative. We need to be moving forward with a green policy and hopefully an aggressive one. Let me ask a question. You talked about the sheriff's program that you've been working on.
Sure.
So, and this resolution says that that he put in funding for the pilot program. Do you know what the funding is, and is it likely that it's going to move forward? I mean, do we anticipate?
Well, it all depends on the budget process. If it gets dropped, then it wouldn't be done.
Okay. Do we know how much it would cost?
Well, the conversion outfit that I was at the meeting with, the chap said $5,000.
Really?
For the conversion to make the vehicle natural gas ready. Now, the interesting thing about that is, when the vehicle at this point in time is no longer serviceable, you take it out and you put it in the next one. You take it out and put it in the next one. I do not remember, to be quite honest with you, they talked about putting the tanks down here, you know, a fill them up tank, you know, or whatever. And I think one of the Falls guys got it. Well, you know, we're going to really do the project. Can you really give us a really break on it? And of course, everybody is prospecting for business. I don't remember.
Okay. So that's something that...
But,
I think
you know, if Jay was still here...
We can get that information. Okay. Let me open the floor to other questions and discussions.
Now, let me just say one other thing.
Yes.
The mileage MPG goes down a little.
The mileage goes down a little?
Yes, in other words, if the vehicle's getting 10 miles per gallon, it might get 9 with this. Because there's a combustibility thing. It's much like oil.
But the cost per gallon is considerably less.
And it's a little like oil. You know, oil burns hotter than gas by 40%. But gas is better for the environment, and it's also, at this point in time, cheaper. Now, may I just say one other thing?
Of course.
And I'm happy for what you said, but I just was up for a week on vacation, and all over the press up there is 5 states in New England The voters with the governor's support are running pipelines to bring natural gas to the communities. New England is where most of the oil in America goes for heating. It started out that way and it stayed that way. And the other thing is that liquid petroleum, LP, is a byproduct of a distillation, actually gasoline. It doesn't just bubble up out of the ground. So having said that, I'll yield to you there.
Well, let's open the floor, Dave.
You know, I can say one thing about natural gas, is that I switched over from oil to natural gas. I'm not sure exactly when, but I don't remember exactly when. About 5 or 6 years ago, my bill is probably much less than half of what it was when I turned on. And it really
made a big difference. The price has gone up also, so even more, right?
Yeah, a big difference. I mean, right now I'm paying less now on my natural gas bill than I did 10 years ago with oil. And I'm talking about what I was paying then and now. Probably almost probably a good third less than that, which means in real money today it's probably much less than half. Much lower than half, but it is.
So the suite that I had envisioned the last time this conversation came up was a suite, and, I'm not talking about whether it's the Sheriff's Department or some other department, but a suite of hybrid electrics, hybrid so that you take advantage of charging when you're near a charger, but you take advantage of the energy that's generated by, I forget the name of the braking, regenerative braking, is that right? And that for each of those vehicles, we would put into place a solar system that offsets the electric component. Now, I don't understand the fleet well enough to know where that's appropriate. But, that's sort of, then you're really approaching zero net energy. And if we're going to make a transition, I think we should make a very, look for the gold standard in that transition. The other thing I want to mention is that I've been participating in the Reforming the Energy Vision process for New York State. It's a public service commission proceeding. And they are going to start using environmental economists to put a dollar value on the positives or the negatives, but in particular the negative impacts, so that when prices are set, those that have greater impact will cost more and those that have lower impact will cost less. So I think what we have to look at is, before making any decision about this, and you said, the first step would be a study, but to look at what the sort of cradle-to-grave environmental impacts and what the cost, when you say natural gas costs less, natural gas costs less because of all the fracking that's going on. And there is, methane that's escaping and all of the negatives that are associated with that. They're going to attempt to use environmental economists to put a dollar value on that. So I think we should do that as we go through this process. The one thing I know for sure is other than the energy embodied in making the vehicle that a combination of an electric vehicle powered by solar, not on the vehicle, but powered by a solar charging station, with a hybrid to compensate for the fact that we don't have charging stations readily available. It takes 3 hours to charge. So, but when they're sitting idle, if they're sitting idle near a charging station that is solar powered, then you're really making a difference. So I just want to, long-winded way, I apologize, but I want to factor all of that into this discussion.
May I say something?
Yes.
With reference to your comments, I don't think anything would be inappropriately experimented with. In other words, whatever it might be should be part of a pilot. Mm-hmm. Whether it be something that, as you might have said, create a great pie in the sky,
mm-hmm.
or pie in the sky today, might be what's the right thing tomorrow. Mm-hmm. By the same token, sometimes things don't work, and that could be discovered. And so I don't disagree with that. I agree with it. And if you notice, there's nothing in there that precludes anything. It would just be the administration's choice to sort of pick where they want to do it. This is a policy thing that we're going to move in this direction, and it's a good clean thing. But I just don't think today aside, we can't wait forever to start to think about it or to start to really pay attention to it.
Sure. Could you make a little pinch of writing myself and Amanda Lavelle to join you at your meeting today? One thing I'll say is I'm very proud of the work we do in Ulster County. I mean, I think that the work that we've done, the work we've done in climate smart communities, we've done a lot of work. We've been very forward thinking when it comes to environmental policy and energy policy. In fact, one of the reasons why we haven't seen a lot of advancement with regard to our fleet, we haven't really bought a lot of vehicles. I mean, we've really kind of weathered a tough time and gone through a recession. We have a very aging fleet. And I recall back earlier this spring when we had brought to the legislature a resolution where we purchased, I believe, eight passenger vehicles just out of necessity that were in there, and kind of brought the discussion back again. And at that time, we talked about how we used guidance that was developed back in 2008 for all of our decision-making. The legislature had drafted back then an energy policy, and as part of that, there was a repurchasing component, and I know that and I saw in the backup some of that material was also included. So there was a lot of forethought, and Tracy, you and I talked, and other members of the committee about maybe it's time to put a green fleet policy in place and codify a lot of the best practices we were doing and kind of look to the future when it comes to alternative vehicles. And so I think we were all in support of that from the beginning. We wanted to work on it. In the interim, we've gotten a proposal on the compressed natural gas or the LPG gas, which we have some reservations about. I know we provided a letter to the committee. What we wanted to do was kind of use this opportunity to broaden that discussion. So, including in your packet and the memo we sent last week, was really our vision for a green fleet policy. We are very careful not to send over a completed resolution that was all done, we put it in discussion format, because we want to have this conversation. I think that there's a lot of great ideas. I think that we're really reluctant to support replacing one fossil fuel with another. I think I can say with confidence that the sheriff's proposal for the LPG cars will not be included in the executive budget. I think that is something that we've done the cost benefit analysis.
Can you see it? Can you see it? Cost benefit analysis.
We're going to talk about it right now.
Okay, so I'll talk about it. Can you see it? We don't have one.
But let's let it. Okay, but let's.
Okay. Let's start again. I think that, first of all, okay, so we, one, we're looking for something that, looks at renewable energy. All right. We have some reservations. We've looked at the sheriff's fleet of vans, the average mileage for those vans is about 51,000 miles. Like the rest of our fleet, the 300 some odd vehicles, I think they're aging vehicles. We also know that the sheriff doesn't routinely use those vans for long distance transport. If they're going out of county, if they're going to transport a prisoner, the deputies take their Tahoes. They take their bigger SUVs. They're comfortable, that's what they go. They don't go in these, you know, 15 passenger vans that they have. Right? We also know that with, you know, really from an environmental standpoint, the best thing you can do is use less of the SUVs. Okay? So, you know, a lot of things that we've been looking at speak to fuel efficiency, speak to, you know, using less of the fossil fuels. Okay? So there's a lot of that. A lot of that's built into this recommendation to the committee. And also, we also believe that we've got to be looking at hybrid technology. We've got to be looking at electric vehicles. And I think that, you know, when you see the budget, you're going to see a proposal that really works toward a lot of the things we put in the draft to the committee. And we're looking to the future. We're looking at using less fossil fuels. And in all honesty, we looked at a lot of the research that was provided with the proposal, and honestly, a lot of it flows from the gas industry. You know, we know that the gas industry is looking to, especially to municipalities around the country, to you know, look at natural gas and LPG as kind of the replacement for gasoline. And we know why. It's because that a lot of it, there's a lot of, they're looking to build capacity to support gas that's extracted through hydrocracking. And given that the county has taken such a strong stance on that issue, we banned the brine, but first with an executive order and then with local law by that side of the legislature, how, you know, not only our county, but our towns across the country are taking a strong stance against that process. Just in good conscience, we don't want to kind of buy into the research of the gas industry. And again, we want to look at the renewables. And I think that that's what you're going to see from the county executive's office. And I think that you'll see that reflected in the draft policy that the guidance.
I got it.
Okay. Ken said that we have it's not going to be, the sheriff's request is not going to be in the budget, and that a cost-benefit analysis was done, which, of course, we all know cost-benefit analysis is numbers, cost-effective. I would like to request that we receive a copy. I would like to have a copy of the number.
Okay.
In my speech, I mentioned this, and I never got one call from outside that office to say, we've been working on this, we've already done that, let me come over and chat with you about it. We sent out this report, as insignificant as it may be, or errant as it may be, around the first or second week in August. I didn't get a call or comment from anybody over this thing. Didn't we already tell you we've done this? It almost appears to me that this letter, quite frankly, is a light. Don't you understand? I am the light and the shining light, and we do this, and we're way ahead of the curve. So just mind your own business and let us develop policy.
Let's say...
Not one word, Tracy, have I heard from anyone over there.
Okay.
Thank you. I'd just like to say, also, we are, I think, the only county, or one of the only counties in the state that has a Department of the Environment. So for us not to have this plan, or we're coming up with it now, when this Department of the Environment's been in effect for 7 or 8, 9 years, has to wonder what they're doing on a daily basis.
We had a report from the Department of Environment.
From 2008, and I think, and I want to pick up for the department. They do a full analysis. And we haven't purchased a lot of cars.
We have not purchased a lot of cars.
Another thing, if you read about the LPG, the state of California, which is a very progressive state, who's got more fracking wells than probably any other state in the nation, they use these cars. The highest majority of cars in the country are in California using LPG technology. It's a good technology. In my opinion, to say, well, fracking's here to stay. It's not going anywhere. Right? It's not going to disappear. We can be righteous and say we're going to continue to burn oil because we're righteous and we're not going to use any byproducts of fracking, even though a lot of natural gas comes from non-fracking. It's not all fracking. Natural gas is not all fracking. There's other ways to get natural gas. So to sit here and be righteous and say, well, we've taken a strong stance against it, I care about what's good for the environment. I care about what's good for our economy, tax, fuel service, fuel mileage, whatever. If you read on LPG, the pros and cons, there are 50 pros and 3 cons for LPG. To me, to say we're not going to do it is really short-sighted, and it makes me feel that since the idea didn't come off of that side of the aisle before, that they're not for it because it wasn't their idea. They didn't get the press release out first. And it's, to me, everything you read is positive about it.
I don't want to have a series of personal
Tracy, you know we've talked about this since the spring.
Yes.
And one of the things that we did with you was you wanted to do it as a committee and work together, and that's what we presented to you here tonight, is that here's some of our thoughts. We put them on a piece of paper. There isn't a resolution that was pre-filed. This was done in a cooperative way. And again, certainly the county executive won't be recommending that we vote actually to recommend it. If the legislature wants to override that and put up amendments in the budget, that's certainly something that
LPG is not fracking.
Okay.
That hasn't been disputed, that LPGs has been in existence since 1910. And in 1996, when Maurice Cinci advocated for the use of gas, natural gas, there was no fracking then either. So it's a red herring that's used to try to go, oh, we're better than everyone else, is nonsense. Now, the proposal should have been out. Again, I talked about it. Nobody called me. Well, all right, I know how I got here. You know, listen, some people like it, some people don't like it. That's the way it is. Where is the proposal? I heard Nana Joe, when we were talking about the highway department wanted to buy some vehicles, talking about this, and he said, well, you got to have a cost-benefit analysis. Should have pulled it out of the thing and said, here's why it's not a good idea. I never saw it. I haven't seen one to this day. All we're saying is, let's do some pilots.
Okay.
All this is pie-in-the-sky stuff.
Okay, we're going to get the floor.
Now, go back on one more thing to say. Well, you don't want to switch fossils for fossils or whatever you say. What should the dance camera be burned with? Should they use, deer carcasses or something from Canada that's water powered? The dance camera's going to be rebuilt. You don't want to promote fracking? There's only one thing left: coal. So the executives for coal.
Well,
in with the county since about 2008. And I think part of that was, really looking at a cost benefit, and that was some of the analysis that we shared with the committee back then just looked at, explicitly considering the cost of fuel with the vehicle. And I just want to mention that we had federal funding to pay for the incremental cost of hybrid vehicles for several years, so we actually have plans on hiring, buying vehicles. So we couldn't buy hybrids because there were no vehicles to be bought, and we had to reprogram that money. So we've been ready to do this on several occasions, just there hasn't been the opportunity of really investing back in the fleet. with that said, you know, it's with an eye towards sustainability. It's looking at sustainable alternative fuels and trying to position the fleet in a place where we're supporting it with infrastructure that can move towards those sustainable technologies. And we really feel that right-sizing it, efficiency, looking at hybrid technologies is part of the way to move, because that sets us forward with the right kind of infrastructure and thinking for the fleet that then moves it forward. You know, propane has been around as long as gas, and you know, it's a product of the distillation columns, basically, when crude is distilled. It is also a byproduct of gas extraction. So now there's the market kind of has been flooded because there's this additional source of propane coming from gas production and not just from the distillate column from crude. In the past, it was very common that propane was being imported into the U.S., but now, because of the boom in production in the U.S., we're seeing a lot more domestically produced fuel. It's pretty volatile as far as the reports that I've been able to look at, from not meaning physically, but as far as the price goes. And you can see that fluctuate quite a bit. It does so more than diesel or gas at this point in time. Also, you know, in looking at proposals, if this committee gets down into that level of detail, you want to look at, you know, what's being offered on state bid versus if you use a company who provides the equipment to the county, there's usually a contract for fuel that's involved with that, and that's not necessarily the state bid price. So you need to look at some of those different variables when you're kind of digging into the cost of that, because, you know, it is cheaper. You are less efficient when you use it. Tailpipe emissions tend to be lower as far as greenhouse gases and your other carbon dioxide equivalent gases, but there are additional greenhouse gases emitted from production that need to be accounted. And the more they look at those greenhouse gases that are emitted during production, the more things start to come out in the wash as far as the actual tailpipe emissions. So it's not unnecessarily easy. You know, you tend to see this used in large fleets, with large vehicles that do high mileage. The vans are around at the most 10,000 miles per year. The analysis, and also, you know, it's not a burden or some stuff for the intensive, you know, out on the road every single day. So there's a lot of different factors to it, but you know, the consensus is what we're thinking about sustainable
technology. In your report, does that mean that you would be opposed to a pilot to a study?
I think we should study
A real study, you know, on the ground, boots on the ground study.
I think we have a good sense of the fleet.
And maybe one other thing, the letter that when all your funding dried up because of various reasons. Now, I wasn't getting it. Could you send me a copy of the letter you sent to the legislature back then, telling them that you were no longer going to pursue this alternative fuels because of whatever? Could you send me that copy?
There was never a letter.
Well, I have to have been a letter. There has to be.
No.
There has to be.
Okay, let me find
they were buying these vehicles. There has to be a letter.
There was
somewhere.
An amendment to a grant agreement signed by the chairman of the legislature at that point in time that changed the grant agreement to reprogram the money. So it wasn't a letter. But
there was no letter sent out notifying them that this was now off the table.
There was an amendment to the grant agreement.
Whatever documentation there is, we will get
it. The legislature was pursuing it actively, and they weren't going to do it. There would have been a letter to say we're not going to do it. And here's why. It's pretty simple.
But it doesn't sound, I'm not certain that the legislature was pursuing it actively.
Well, I just want to see the copy of it.
Okay. Well, we'll get a copy of the amendment to the agreement. If I can say something. So I spoke with the chairman earlier today because I had some concerns and about the CNG and LPG aspect of this resolution as well. In part because at this committee, we've had these discussions about the change, which is still not going to stop. tonight we're going to now have an abbreviated discussion because Jim Lepker can't be here, but the Pilgrim Pipeline, again, we're talking about fossil fuels. And I would, in an ideal world, want to see an alternative source. And I know in previous meetings, one thing I raised to you, Amanda, and Ken, we've talked about this multiple times, is that I think when we start talking about hybrid or electric vehicles, one, I felt like that analysis was too short-lived. It was a five-year study, and my vehicle I've had for 10 years. I don't think we should be running the numbers against 5 years. I think we should run the numbers longer. But two, it's not always about strictly the dollar bottom line. It's also about the environmental impact bottom line. And so one thing that I really appreciate in the chairman's proposal is a number. And I think that our when we finally set a policy, we the legislature set a policy, I think we should have a number. We should be saying, like this resolution says, it may not be 50%, but we should be saying at least blank percentage by blank day, we should be setting a goal, and the goal should be aggressive. What I said to the chairman earlier is that I'm not right now, at this moment, comfortable with leaving the choice of LPG, CNG, hybrid, or hybrid electric up to this or any executive. I don't feel comfortable saying you choose. It could all be CNG, it could all be electric. That said, and that's why I said I have no interest in cutting a tumor out. I only want to move forward positively and aggressively with getting a policy down. And I think we need to talk. It's going to maybe take us another month, in my opinion, to do that. But I'd like to keep moving forward. One thing in the proposed green policy from the executive's office that I think would be helpful is you talk about establishing an environmental baseline. And if I could ask, I mean, how long would this take, do you think, to do when you're talking about analyzing data? Because that's something I think that we would need to, I mean, I have, and we've all gotten the lists of all the vehicles, but I think we need to, like, analyze what they're all used for and, you know, what we think. Because one, again, not to be on a crazy train of thought, but one thing that came into my mind is when we set a goal, like this resolution sets, when we set a goal of 50% by 2020, or are we saying 50% of the whole fleet as a whole? Does that include the sheriff's fleet equally? Because the sheriff has control over his own fleet. So do we have to say that the 50% of the sheriff's fleet or 50% of each department, like, or do we have to, if the sheriff says, I'm not going to do it, it's not appropriate for any of my cars?
Well, that's entirely possible. Somebody could say, just can't get there that quick. That's not unreasonable.
Right, so these are questions I think we need to vet to figure out what we actually are going to move forward.
I think one of the good things is that because kind of the operations have improved a little bit, we now have data that we didn't have until recently. You know, with our new gas procurement cars, we're able, and Amanda has a direct tie to live data where we can look at each specific vehicle, how many miles they're using, how many gallons of gas they use, how much is paid for that fuel. So we now have that ability where...
Is that the still miles per gallon as well?
So we were able to then calculate into that. Again, somehow we weren't able to do that. That's something that's rarely new.
We cannot do that.
We now
I drive a fleet car. They can push a button and tell exactly my miles, how much they
do. It's
always done manually.
Yeah, we definitely didn't always.
But now we have it all online, and it's all documented because we have a uniform procurement card across the county now for the gas purchases. Also, and I'll add, the list that you have was from June.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't incorporate the new seasons that were purchased, I don't believe. And also, the list also doesn't include cars that are used through the urgent task force.
Right.
I think it's appropriate to provide a list of undercover cars or that type of thing. But I believe there's under a dozen or so cars that would go on that list that we didn't felt it would be appropriate to put on a public list. I think that some of the thought process on our end is establishing a baseline. I think that when you see the budget proposal, you're going to see some new investments that kind of look at the spectrum, and then also we're going to be able to measure. And I think one of the things that we felt was really important to build into the draft policy that we sent over was a reporting in the mail. We want to be able to come back and have meeting on an annual basis with facts. This is the direction we went. Here are the actual results. Here's where we did well, here's where we didn't so well, and then be able to adjust and move that forward. So we want to be careful that early on in the process, we don't, you know, that we don't get ahead of ourselves. Because again, we have a relatively large fleet, 300 and some odd passenger type vehicles. It's very aging, and you know, over the next few years, just out of necessity, the legislature is going to have to make some decisions on purchasing new vehicles. We want to make sure we have a good policy in place, one that provides some flexibility. One year the legislature knows that there's a good coordination between the fleet manager and the director of the environmental department that we're putting, you know, so that you understand kind of the thoughts that are going into that computer for the recommendation, and that we'll be able to come to the legislature so that you feel confident in your votes for those new purchases, and that you'll know annually you're going to get a report back. Kind of here's how we're doing with regard to replacing of the fleet, the environmental decisions that were being made. In all honesty, it's all not going to be hybrids or plug-in cars. I mean, it's one, there's a cost element, and two, it's not practical for all applications. I think you're going to see, for example, the county needs to buy some new vans. The Veterans Department, others, as well. You just reach our useful life, and they're coming to the point where they're not as safe as they could be to transport our residents for different services. But we've been done a lot of work where we found, instead of that traditional Econoline 15-passenger van, which frequently isn't the safest van in the world, there's new alternatives that are available there. They're real high efficiency, high gas mileage. So they're the solution for those vehicles aren't going to be an electric or other renewable solution. You can feel confident that we're looking at solutions that provide 28 miles per gallon. And gives you flexibility in how you configure to provide car efficiency. So I think that's what you're going to see out of us. We'd love to get, we sent this over in good faith. I know it's a conversation with Tracy, we've had both you and I personally, other members of the committee, ever since we brought forward those car purchases earlier this spring. So, and we're looking for feedback.
Ever since then? Not prior to
that. Okay. Again, prior to that, we followed the policy which was on the books, which was the energy policy, including the component on green purchase of a vehicle. And again, we've been talking, we've been following that to a T. In fact, the purchases the legislature considered back in the spring were developed based upon that policy which was on the books. But again, it wasn't a specific green fleet policy. It was a global energy policy that had a kind of pre-purchase component in it. So again, we're all for it. We support it. And we think we've done a good job implementing it. And we look forward to working with the committee and getting something on the books that, you know, keeps us on the forefront. Again, but the reality is we have not purchased a lot of cars. We haven't. It's just been the economic reality. But as we start to make some new investments out of necessity, let's make sure we get it right.
This is for the future, not the
future. Okay. Next, Rich, Dave, John.
I would just thank you, Mr. Ken pronounced at the beginning that they had already rejected Sheriff Lynn Barton's request, and based on their cost-benefit analysis, that it wasn't feasible. So I would request respectfully that this committee ask for a copy of the cost-benefit analysis and all the data they had financial to reject the sheriff's proposal.
We have it here with us.
That's right.
We can the committee prepare and talk about it.
Well, where can we have it? So you rejected it based on this piece of paper.
Well,
Okay,
but can we see what your data is? That's all we have. I don't think that's in the report. It's here. Is that unreasonable?
Well, no. And when you say we will get that cost benefit.
We already know. We should have it.
Are they ready?
I don't want to talk about it. I want to see it.
Read it.
I want to read the report.
I don't know if we've written in our report.
We'd like to talk about it and then send it back to the committee in a format.
Okay, more let's do that. We're going to talk about it and then you're going to get it on paper.
Thank you.
Okay.
Well, I think you should all get it on paper.
Yeah, well, I say you. I mean all of us.
Thank you.
Okay, yeah. Amanda, you have a question. You want
to say something? I wanted to say something.
No, because we're
what you're hearing is a we. You know, you got some data from these folks. Is that correct? Some documentation I heard them say, well, I showed this to you, Tracy, or something?
No. The letter that I got what you got.
You know, we've had an administration here for six years.
I know, but right now Amanda is going to respond to Rich, then Dave, and then you. Rich, we're going to hear about this, and you're going to get it in writing.
It should be available. When you quote something, you should be able to handle it.
You'll get it in writing.
Yeah.
Rich,
okay.
This analysis, I backtracked because it wasn't explicit what the assumptions were.
When you refer to something, it's going to have to use remarks of the minutes, though, when you say this, what this is. In other words, you're referring to this in the minutes, just so we can identify what this is.
Yeah.
The chairman sent a proposal with backup and some analysis. We took that analysis, reviewed it, recreated the analysis, and we found some flaws in it. And we're prepared to talk about it here.
So just say, when you say this, just say, label it somehow so if somebody goes back, they know what that was.
And I'm a big proponent of, running several different scenarios. So, because cost benefits assume one scenario, and everybody knows that over a period of time, costs and prices and everything can vary quite a bit. So, went back through this cost benefit analysis, looked at the assumptions for miles per gallon and how many miles per year each vehicle was to be driven, and then looked at the cost assumptions because I wanted to run it on under a couple of different cost points. And what I found was that in the documentation that was provided, the current state bid price for LPG was used as the assumption and applied over the whole period of time. Talking to end, that is the current bid cost. But as I had mentioned before, propane can be pretty volatile as far as the cost goes. And also looked at different counties who use a distributor to provide the tank are locked into a different price. So looking at that price that you often get from a distributor, we ran it with a couple of different costs for the LPG because I felt that it was a little bit, wanted to be more, I think this is slightly optimistic in the price of the LPG over the full term. So I ran it at 700 costs, and what I'm averaging out is something that was provided at a 2.98, so a 3-year break-even point. I'm getting over 4 years. So it did move it towards several more years under most scenarios.
Okay, and you'll be able to provide that, your analysis
right
later.
There's my shorthand on
the
book, which I'm not.
The cost, the environmental impact of the current vehicles.
Based on those vehicles and the emissions from those vehicles.
Well, okay.
Because you don't know if maybe the catalytic converter on one of them isn't quite working.
What I use, because I can't, is the NYSERDA standard for tailpipe emissions per carbon dioxide equivalent. So I was looking at CDE, carbon dioxide equivalent, for the different gases versus
the gas. Okay, Dave, I'm going to thank you.
Thank you for allowing me to speak. I think, I certainly understand where you're coming from at certain points, and that we know that the price of the gas is going to fluctuate, the LP, the soldiers, regular gas, and the LP gas tends to maybe fluctuate more, but it also fluctuates lower. Where the regular glass gas that's, right now it's at the lowest it's been in quite some time, and we're paying 349 or 350 or whatever. Cash is better. Okay, you can credit depending on where you're at. But anyway, you know, I think what I want to do is really, we should be looking at the resolution. And, you know, what I see in the resolution is a number of things. Where is that? And, you know, it's setting a goal, which is, I agree with you, Tracy, that's a positive thing. You're setting a goal. And that's what we're moving towards. And so the policy is setting a goal towards using alternative fuels. Now, I don't, you know, what we're also doing is in this resolution pushing out the idea that we're going to have a pilot program, that the SHRP itself wanted to be involved with. He wanted to do this pilot program. It's not a very costly pilot program to begin with. I mean, it's how many thousands of dollars?
We didn't get those numbers, John. Didn't
have. I think it's worth about $5,000 a vehicle.
I think it was $20,000 or something like that.
Right. So they're going to do. So what you're doing is you're creating a pilot, a small pilot that is going to actually be able to be monitored very closely, so you'll know whether or not this is successful or not. And I believe that if we apply, we can talk to the assembly, and then we can talk to a few other people to see if we can get a grant for the space pilot program. And I believe we could probably pull that off. The thing here is we're looking at a pilot program for one piece of alternative, and it's certainly in no way inform anywhere in here that it's saying that that's all we want to do. It's just part of the one thing. This is the LP gas because we do have, you know, it's plentiful compared to oil, and all the oil comes from overseas. This thing comes locally anymore. Not oil, but no, they have a good lot of iron anymore. But this is what I'm saying is that this is a small pilot program. It's not a huge thing. It's not like we're spending hundreds of thousands of dollars here. We're not. And we're going to get a close look at what if this works. If it doesn't, we can scrap it. And if we have a grant to do it from the assemblyman or someone, well, then it's costing us nothing ever out of our own pockets, and we're able to actually take a look at it, and then maybe it might be a good idea. Maybe we should be doing it with all, you know, maybe the Resource Recovery Agency might want to move towards some of this until we can get even you know, better prices on hybrids and things of that nature where you can move towards those. But it gives you an alternative, and so my take on it is not a lot in here that I have a problem with. I mean, you know, if you want to tweak it and do certain things, maybe the numbers here aren't what we want. Maybe we want to get it quicker. Maybe we think we should wait longer. Maybe it should take longer. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a discussion that certainly could be had.
Can I have John?
Well, just my last comment is, I got the letter myself, and it says, what, draft policy? I thought we made the policy. They should have been out working with us to say, well, here's where we disagree with you. Not a word. Not one word.
Can we maybe consider this, but if... Maybe we can consider that this is the word, and now we can start working.
Well, they've already said that they're rejecting anything from the sheriff. Now, you know, I could go back and find stuff from Georgia, from Virginia, from Monroe County, from California, from
other companies.
Listen, UPS, the trucks are either LPN or compressed natural gas. I mean, we can invent the wheel, there's no question about that. All this was to say, let's find out what it would take to make it right. Now suddenly, it's reached the point where the red herrings are being thrown out about fracking. It's reached the point where the comment was made, you don't substitute one fuel for another, so the people that want to put gas in dance counters shouldn't be doing that, because our county executive says you shouldn't be substituting one fuel for another. Well, so, I mean, you can go, the red herrings are counter.
But to that point, I mean, the dance camera, Manus talked about dance camera multiple times at this committee, saying just what a tragedy is that we're talking about putting an old fossil fuel company back online because of this whole...
Listen, the governor wants to close down Indian Point, too, but nobody's going to...
But exactly, we're talking about...
Get the energy trouble.
Actually, we do have...
If we close it tomorrow, we'd be in trouble.
No, we wouldn't.
So I think that these issues have come up on different levels in this committee at different times. I'll get to you in a second, Ken. And the idea, I mean, to what you said earlier, Dave, about the numbers and percentages, I mean, what's amazing is that this is finally has put the idea of the policy on paper. And when I say this, I'm talking about the chairman's resolution. That's what's amazing. That's what's in front of us. I don't care how it happened. Now I think what we have to do is, as a committee, decide what, and John, that includes you, you're a member of this committee. So as a committee, we need to decide what exactly, I mean, do we want to talk about, when we talk about these percentages, do we want these numbers to be different? Do we want to be specific as to which kinds of energy? I mean, we may want to be aggressive with saying they need to be renewable. And that's going to be informed by this, you know, by these numbers that Amanda can give us by the analysis of the fleet. And I'm not talking about over months and years. I think we ought to be doing this ideally by next month. We can start to hammer something out. This resolution
had an opportunity for $20,000.
Okay,
started.
That's
it's already been thrown out.
No, but that's, well, who knows? Let me tell you two things. One, it's not been thrown out because, as far as I know, the legislature has the final say on the budget, and the legislature can amend the budget and put in anything in the budget that the legislature can pass.
Well, that starts from the
but that's
a clarification. The 20,000 is for four retrofits?
We're going to get the number from John Lee.
I can't exactly remember whether it was two or four. It could have been 15,000,
okay.
It could be 20.
I just want to know what
I did not plan to become an expert and be source specific.
No, we'll get those numbers as well, well in advance of next month. But this resolution isn't saying we're going to do a pilot program. That's in the whereas. This resolution is saying resolve upon the completion of the pilot program, we're going to do this. So I think what we need to do as a committee is knuckle down. It might require an additional meeting specifically on this subject, because I don't know how we could do a subcommittee of five, but knuckle down and get to work so that we can, we're not dragging our feet, so that we can come forward with, and it may be exactly what this says, I don't know, but we all got 100 pages of material on Friday from the chairman. The executive's response came out also on Friday, so it's like we got a lot of information in the very last minute, and I know that the chairman, like, I remember the talking points and the speech. I'm aware of them. So this has been out there in the same way that this committee has raised the cent every time a vehicle's come up, either here or in Ways and Means, because I said I'm both, and Nana and I have both spoken out at both committees. So I am supremely grateful to the chairman for putting it on paper, because I didn't do it, and I'm glad it's here. And I think we can reach an agreement, and we can move forward, a policy forward. I just don't see it, me personally, I don't see it happening tonight.
No, I'm not.
But but I think we can do it in short order.
You know, out of respect to the committee, I'm looking to work together to do this project. I think we've talked about all year.
What's that about?
Fracking is not a good hearing. I know, I know that the gas production is a concern for environmentalists across this county. There are several of them at the Walton Trails meeting that would take issue with the term red herring. I know, again, we feel pretty confident in our position on that. Our goal here was to provide you with a document and get feedback. We've gotten no feedback on our proposal. We only got arguments. I mean, what we think is that really should start to a policy that's well thought through, that thinks not only about our return in places, but thinks about the future. It's about the long-term sustainability of this government. And I'd love to get your feedback on that.
Okay, and you will. We, with all due respect, we just got it. We all just got it right before the weekend. So that's the other thing. I mean, I think we all need to take the time. And maybe we ought to set a special meeting in between the next meeting. We're going to set it tonight, but we'll reach out. Yes.
My last comment is, nowhere have I ever been when working together is when a letter goes out saying certain things are off the table and there's, you know, that's not working together. Sending a letter like this, instead of picking up the phone and calling us or saying I'd love to have a meeting and sit down and discuss ideas and an open thing, sending a letter out dismissing two very important things that are being used all over the country and all over the world, actually the United States is behind the rest of the world, is certainly not working together. It's not, in my opinion, good faith to try to solve the problems for the residents and make our county cleaner and better in the future. So in the future, Ken, I appreciate your comments at the end, but when letters like this are written, dismissing ideas and saying you have no interest in certain products, it's not working together. Not anywhere, anyway, anyhow.
Again, listen, there have been other letters generated from environmentalists back to the chairman saying we shouldn't do this.
There's also been letters written that people don't want to cancel the rail trail. But sometimes you have to do what's right, and what's right isn't always popular, and what's popular always isn't right. So because you got a few letters from environmentalists to say we're not going to do these two or three things, to me, is wrong. And I'm not advocating that we're going to do these. I got the
legislature wants to support gas for our
cars. I'm just saying good things.
One minute you want to work together, and then the next minute you want to send letters saying that these are off the table because we've gotten some letters. We either work together or tell us.
Our analysis doesn't bear it out as a good idea.
I look forward to it.
I think I even maybe gave a note. Before this, when we made our proposal, they'll come up with a better idea. And suddenly, I got a better idea.
Yeah. True.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. So, can I entertain a motion to, I would imagine... I would like to, and I'll coordinate through Krista. I think I would like to call a special meeting on just this subject. I think it'll probably require it.
Yeah.
So I will reach out to all committee members. Okay. Moving on. Resolution 328, and this is... Because you may not want to be able to have your input. Resolution 328, authorizing the filing of an application for a state grant in aid for municipal waste reduction and or recycling projects, and authorizing the chairman of the Office of the Legislature to sign any associated state contract under the appropriate laws of the New York State Department of the Environment. Everyone can look at 328. And I will hand it over to you.
This is a resolution that's required by DEC to apply to their grant program, and this would be for 50% reimbursement for the equipment that you're purchasing in order to handle material that we're removing from county right-of-ways because of the MLS or infestation. As many of you are probably aware, ASHCOR has really within the last several seasons taking a toll on the ash trees, and it's moving very quickly now. And we're realizing that we have just a kind of tremendous amount of material, trees that have to be removed in the right of way. And so this is, in order to clear up, some additional equipment has been purchased, and it was suggested that we look into selling those for kind of recoup some of that cost, and there's a reimbursement grant program through DEC for the cost of the equipment. So that's what the resolution is in support of. We're also, just kind of fill folks in, we were also looking at and sending that shipped material to Ocean County Resource Recovery Agency, where it's used as woody mass in their municipal compost operation. And this is kind of a really neat synergy in this program because Resource Recovery Agency is kind of very centrally located when you look at the infestation map for ASHCOR, so that it's in a place where it's kind of centrally located to bring material
it provides a good reuse of that material. It's not just being pitched to the roadside to decompose, but it will be used to make compost, which is then a saleable product that has great environmental benefits. We've also worked with ACRO within Moderna, who's soon to put in a very large grant application through the consolidated funding application to further expand the composting operation at Flatbush. And that would be great in that it would really incentivize them, really push to the next level of what they've already been able to do at Flatbush. And at the same time, help with our MLS for
I see that it's for purchase of chippers and boom trucks. The grinding itself, well, let me back up and say, the larger wood would not be included. This is just for the brush and the smaller wood, right?
Barely. I think those chippers can, they're massive.
Yeah, they can handle the full tree.
Okay, but
I can tell you the diameter, you know, that it acts as a diameter, that it's too much more like a grinder.
Because in the past, we used a tub grinder for that heavier wood and chippers for smaller, and maybe I'm confused, but I never knew of a chipper that could handle a whole tree. I was just trying to sort that out.
Well, we should look at what, I don't know what the diameter is where that chipper matches up, but I know that there's...
I support the resolution and providing the agency with wood chips for what I quite certain will be an expanding composting facility, but... I'm just taking down trees on my own property to put up solar. I hate taking the trees down, but I need to maximize the solar. And we're going to chip up the smaller branches, but we're actually going to use the wood in this case.
Yes,
to wood
there's a lot of regulations as far as how far that material can be transported. It could be transported to maybe the pellet grinder, the big logs and round.
Okay.
But
I was just trying to picture the whole system. Okay, thank you.
It says here that three chippers have already been purchased.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens if we don't get
the reimbursement? This is a reimbursement grant. So you need to spend the money beforehand. And this is a purchase that the county moves ahead with anywhere because of the so there's usually a pretty big waiting list for this grant, and I know after they're familiar with this grant funding, that's the one that's used to support the recycling, a lot of the different recycling efforts.
So what are the odds of us getting this grant?
It's pretty good.
And if we don't, we're on the hook for the cycle.
It was something that it was a new purchase in order to do it, and it was just actually rather fortuitous that we were able to, it is explicitly really more accurate, and then we were able to relate it back to the recycling grant in order to receive the money to help cover it off.
I just want to say, I think it's, like Nana said, I think it's exciting how you're connecting it back to ACRA, because I'm excited by the expansion of that composting facility and the incentivizing of bringing organic to that facility, which has been the hindrance, to my understanding. And it's also fortuitous that we're discussing that today actually canceled. We were going to have a full ash borer presentation, but it was just, I knew it was going to be such a long meeting as it was, and Amanda, just putting it out there now, I would like your participation. I'll keep you posted. It will ideally be next month. We're going to reach out to DEC, and then we additionally, this is kind of in advance of a later agenda item, we'll be reaching out to DEC, and one of the one of the applicators, this, which all began when the chairman alerted me to a constituent who had very extreme concerns. I know she spoke with you as well. And I called her, and she put me in touch with the applicators, and she's extremely passionate about this problem. And I think this grant itself sort of goes a long way to illustrating the extremity of the problem, because we're only looking at the right-of-ways, and you're talking about that many trees. So one thing I felt was important is that we put a county picture on it, because she was initially talking about the applicators, not specific to the county. So,
have you seen the map?
I have not seen the map of the Astros.
Here it is.
It's awesome. Oh my gosh.
This is the county outline in it.
Can I ask one more question?
Yes.
Would this be available for use by towns and villages too?
That, right now, you know, that's up to however they typically do a lot of shared services.
Yeah. Well, you just need to be in competition with them putting out ahead of time, because who knows if celebrities in Rochester or other towns are putting in the same grants and they're fighting against each other. And then you bought the equipment, and if they get the grant, then anybody equipment.
They
haven't,
my knowledge, I know that they use a lot of the UPRA, and the UPRA will go and park at a different transfer station in the town.
I was talking about also the boom trucks, the chippers,
No, and we our department, the town environment, actually coordinates the county-wide Emerald Ash Forest Task Force, and the whole purpose of that group is to get the towns and the county highway department and different technical resources together in order to talk about who's doing what and how we can assist each other.
Okay.
Because it's a huge problem, and really, I don't know if you've driven around just looking at how
many
Astros are dying. Amazing. So,
yeah.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, and I think also, too, it was a bigger conversation than I was with the consumer. There's no magic to it out there. There's no magic inoculation that could be done, like I say before. You know, there's general man has done a lot of work. They should be prepared to talk about that at great lengths.
Excellent.
At this point, we're kind of in a, the chippers are critical to our.
We actually just finished this summer a full inventory of the county right away of all the 424 miles of county roads, and we're able to categorize, you know, based on the number of ash and how quickly they're dying, so that we can actually come up with a strategy of how to manage it. It's just that big of a problem.
And it says over 20,000 ash trees in that right away. Okay, so on the resolution, we need a motion.
I'll move it.
I second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you. Okay. Moving on to the RRA agency report. Sorry. Okay.
They're going to write a in opposition to what you're going to do.
First, I'd like to talk about we had a Tim, Charlie, and I had a meeting with Mr. Shipman's committee last.
The Board of Supervisors?
Yes. Carl's
still here?
Yeah. I'll be right back.
Carl had to go to a rail show meeting across the hall.
But man, we asked Anna to get in.
Oh,
yes?
Is Carl president of the Supervisors?
He is.
He is.
Okay. Right. Did he speak on their behalf?
Yeah, he has on the chair. I didn't know if he was here.
Can we turn them up? I didn't want to say anything until Carl was here in case I checked on it. Carl, I was mentioning that we had a meeting with your committee.
Yes.
And I'll sum it up and you can agree or not or add to it. I came away with, I think, 2 points. One, that the supervisors were not excited about a 10-year contract. They felt like it would be better as a 5-year than not a 10-year contract. The second point was that I think we came away with that there was a feeling that they wanted the RRA to raise the rate to offset the cost that was going to cost the town, the added cost that we're asking for from the town.
Raise what rate?
Our tipping fee rate. We would be raising the rate on 92% of the people to support 8% of the people. There's about 8% of our
volume
goes through the town transfer station. Then were the high points, I think, Carl.
Well, somewhat. First thing, as far as the temporary contract, there isn't a town that's going to sign a 10-year open-ended contract. It's impossible. The controller's office would crucify us for doing something like that. And the public should vote us out of office immediately. Nobody signs an open-ended contract for 10 years. There has to be some kind of balance and some kind of controls placed in the contract, which is obviously that way. The gist of what we understand. But just a little history here. Up until soil control, the towns paid up to $30 a ton more than the major borrowers were. And in a way, we were subsidizing them, I guess. That's the way we looked at it, okay? And then soil control came in. Private haulers were brought up to a rate that was higher than us. I don't believe the supervisors have a problem. The towns have a problem with our rate, our tipping fee going up, and everybody paying the same rate, because we believe everybody should pay the same rate. That's fair enough. However, there's certain things that differentiate us, and I'd like the RRA to remember, they're a public benefit corporation. They were created to handle the towns' problems with waste. Remember, they wanted us to close our dumps and put in transfer stations. It wasn't our decision to do that. We were told to do that.
Well, state mandated it,
of course. And what's happened here is that with flow control now, of course, the major haulers are complaining because now they're paying more than us. So 103 across the board doesn't seem to be a problem. But where we have a problem is that we are very much vested in recycling. With the exception of cardboard and paper products, I would have to say clean recyclables are coming from the towns. Everybody else is single stream. These are things that are getting sold. They get sold at a higher price than the commingled stuff. So for the towns, now because there wasn't ever a capital management plan for the bins, and it's 20 years later, oh, we need bins now, and face it, it came because of the result of an insurance audit. They came through and said, hey, guys, you can't use it. Okay, well, 20 years later, now the piper's got to be paid for it. And now you're asking the towns to say they go into a long-term contract, contribute towards it, and part of it is going to be a rental fee for each bin. Now, because we are invested in recycling, that means we use all these different bins to do that. So we're getting penalized for doing the environmentally proper thing, which I really don't think is right. So what I'm saying is, you know, it's in everybody's interest that we do the right thing. And I'm saying that the towns are doing their part. You know, I have extra labor charges because of this. You know, you have to have somebody there to say, no, don't put it in there. Although I will say that the people that come to our transfer stations
are probably the most environmentally conscious ones, too. These people, it's like a religion for them. And I'm damn glad, and I'm proud of it, too, because we're all contributing. But what I think we should do is at the very end, you know, I can't keep raising rates, or we're going to have garbage all over the place. And then that will happen, okay? But what I think might be possible is if the extra charges for the poles and the bins, the rentals, if that went into the tipping fee and everybody paid that, then we're all bearing the responsibility for recycling. And that's how we're looking at it. Because I think we're taking an extra burden here. And it's not like we can just close the transfer stations. Believe me, we don't make a dime. It's a matter of how much I'm going to lose every year at the transfer station. So it's not a question of that. But you know, and from there, we have to go to a long-term solution here. You know, when we never sited a landfill, we're paying that price. We're paying the price for refinancing years ago. The debt, long-term debt, should be gone, okay? There's been too many mandates, and they keep getting dumbfounded with Band-Aid approaches. So I'm saying we've got a short-term problem, and then there's a long-term solution that we have to look forward to. And I think it might be a multifaceted solution. Maybe not a landfill in Ulster County, maybe a landfill in Ulster County. And please, the press is...
You said you
were
in Ulster.
No,
I didn't.
But the truth put it in the headline. We have to address these questions. And maybe it won't be here. Maybe we'll team up with four or five counties in our region and take a regional approach. Maybe we'll burn some of this stuff and create electricity with it. I think we have to look at coming up with long-term solutions for this problem. Shipping the stuff and paying $8 million a year to ship the stuff to Syracuse just doesn't make sense. So I'm actually talking to you about two things, the short-term and the long-term. And I'm not looking for a Band-Aid here. I think we have to do something, and I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Carl.
Yeah.
I just like to make a couple comments. Yes, the towns did pay more in the private sector for quite a few years. But 8% didn't really make up the whole difference. It was a net service fee for probably close to $21-22 million that this county paid is what made up the big difference. We did give the towns an opportunity, and they still have an opportunity to sell the recyclables on their own. I mean, we didn't say you have to come to us. If you sign a contract, yes. But if you don't sign a contract, decide not to, you can sell your own recyclables. The only thing that has to come to us is the MSW. And it has to either come by us or by another hauler. It can come by anybody. But it has to come to us based on flow control. I truly understand the town's problems, because the people that go there, I go there. And I see the people on a daily basis, and they do recycle. They probably recycle better than anybody else. And it is better stuff, no question. Our cost that we're asking is about $300,000 more a year that we're asking the towns to pay, from what they pay. And I know that's a big cost.
Can I interrupt and just ask to Carl's point, what is that in the tipping fee? Like, if you were to...
tipping fees,
I don't know, the $300,000, if you were to put, as Carl was suggesting, if you were to put those, the pulls and the rentals, into the tipping fee across the board, what is the difference?
Probably
the
$3
Well, you figure any change in the tipping fee, we're 403 right now, right?
Right.
Our budget rate shows that we're not increasing it next year.
Right.
Any change in that tipping fee, if you increase it a dollar, that's another $120,000.
And the cost for the pools and the rentals on an annual basis is $300,000-something.
Well, I haven't put together the pools, the higher tipping fees, and...
the higher tipping fee is not something
right,
that...
So we have to pull that.
...discussing right now, so that would be out. So it's just the recycling...
Not necessarily. It's going to be there, but it's going to be, if we add to pay the difference, it'll probably be around $2 a ton if you pull the added fee.
Instead of 103, you'd be talking 104.
That's about $2.
That's pretty close.
Right. But I have a different idea that I like to throw out there is, what if we ask the county to do the hauling?
The DPW, all the MSW and the
recycles to us. The town would have no charge for hauling.
They would still have the rental charge? They would still have the rental charge under that?
Well, that would be up to the county.
You're saying, okay, I need to understand. You're saying you would want the county not to just haul them. You would want the county to take over ownership and responsibility of all the boxes in the county.
All the boxes and...
And so you want the county to take over maintenance, ownership, and...
So you're looking at maybe the county, whether, you know, you're talking the county might have to come up with $300,000 in their budget, or $400,000 based on their labor rates and stuff. But it solves a big problem to the town. It solves a big problem to us. We can get out of the roll-off business.
You said it in terms of a net service fee.
It is a net service fee. I just want to say, Carl, I agree with you. I mean, when Soil Control came out last year, by having different rates for the towns and the private haulers, we were clearly setting the towns up for failure this year. Everybody should have took the hit last year. But with that said, the issue I have with helping the towns out is, we have been strict on saying the users pay. So I don't feel, just because that's how it was sold to us, was the users pay, the folks that get home delivery shouldn't really have to pay an increased cost to help the towns out, because they're not using the towns. They get it picked up. And they all got hit last year. I got hit with a 15% increase, like we all did who get home garbage pickup. So, but I mentioned this, Tracy, in this committee meeting back in January, February, March. We knew you guys were going to get clobbered. So if we're trying to solve a problem right now, I hate to say it, but this committee didn't do their job and the legislature didn't do their job, because we knew this was going to happen. I said from the beginning, we should come up and say $300,000, $400,000, whatever it was. I even thought it was more, $600,000.
Mm-hmm.
Subsidize them, keep the town so that they're not, because at the end of the day, it's the left pocket, it's the right pocket. All the taxpayers are paying it. It was implemented poorly, Soil Control. We don't have to go back and hash that out. But the towns were set up for failure this year, the way it was all passed last year. Everybody knew it was going to happen. And I think we need to help the towns out.
And if I just need to respond, because you said the committee didn't do its job, I need to respond, because the committee just got the budget, didn't we know at the time?
Tracy, we knew there was...
We didn't know what the numbers were going
to
be.
But Tracy, they came to us, Leon and Charlie and Tim, back in February, March, were saying, just plan $1 million or however, the roll-offs, we needed 20-something new roll-offs. We knew that was going to be divided by 12 or 13 transfer stations around the county. We knew that it was going to, we knew that we were going to raise their tipping fees to equal private haulers. We all knew that it was coming, and we didn't, I hate to say it, but I was talking about it back in February, March, and when you brought it up.
And I heard you.
And I was talking with him.
All right, I'll just be very brief. I proudly voted against Soil Control. What Carl was talking about with the rates higher to the general public is a net service fee. It's a hidden tax, which is all Soil Control became. 18%, 20% tax increases. What Leon's talking about might be a solution, but it's nothing more than what they eliminated before, the net service fee. And I can't stand it when we're not upfront about it. It was, the Soil Control thing was poorly thought out. The policy was dropped on the table and said, here we have a better idea. And it's too bad But maybe the net service fee is on its way back, as it should have been, because the users, which is all wonderful, you know, if you all remember, I asked some people, you mean if you don't use the county park, you shouldn't have to pay for it? And Jay Day answered, that's right, only the users should pay. You have to remember the litany. I went through the whole thing. And yet, the key Ulster Green, while hopefully growing, is, as you said, sir, a public benefit corporation. It benefits everybody. Even the guys and gals that come over the weekend and take their little ditty bag back to the city are not paying now.
They used to pay.
The city of New York, with $1.5 billion worth of assessed valuation, does not pay today. CSX, Verizon, all these places do not contribute. So your solution might be cool. It's being a little disingenuous, but not from your point of view. It's been that service aid. It's been that service aid, as it should be.
Yeah.
I guess, like, listen, sir, if I scoop,
go.
Yes. Please. Thank you. Good luck.
I just want to say, I did definitely hear when Rich brought up the idea of apparently every year at budget time, there's a calculation made in a formula, and the agency reports that to the executive branch and to the legislature. And my understanding with flow control was that the tipping fee would go up so that there would be no net service fee to the agency, but there still can be a net service fee. You could actually do both. The $2 a ton added to the 103 it's a small percentage, but that percentage to the towns is an important incentive to keep the whole system working if they don't have to pay the box rentals and the pull fees. So for $2 a ton, what that does is it allows a little bit more recycling, and then applies a disincentive.
Why does somebody that doesn't use transfer stations have to pay increased fees?
Well, if they don't use the transfer station, they have a hauler. The tipping fee goes up for the hauler, and it might seem unfair, but they're not doing the extra work of sorting it and taking it to a transfer station. They have the convenience of having it picked up at the door.
They already got people with 15% increase last year.
Which was not in
the doesn't matter. It's a hit, and everybody raised it 15%. So you couldn't go to the next guy and say, you've got to give me a lower. Listen,
the little guys came out for him because I got a big gain in customers because the big guys went up.
Anyway, excuse me, because I still did have the floor. And I think the decision for us is going to be the 103 versus 105. I mean, not that we're going to set it, but we're going to have some say in it. And also whether or not to apply any of the formula number that we turned down last year, but in the past there had been very large net service fees. But if you know, there might be, after their budget is submitted, some part of the net service fee that could be applied to essentially thanking the towns for a very good service that they provide, the high quality recycling, the education, and also I want to say that the towns have been talking to each other about being more efficient, about three or four towns working together. So everyone has to be open on Saturday, but maybe one would be open Tuesday, one would be open Wednesday, one would be open Thursday. And the people in those towns could go to any one of them and not have to, and still be able to self-haul. Okay, so that was my takeaway, and I think it was a very positive discussion to be having the agency and the supervisors talking together and really listening to each other. I think clearly we're going to come up with a solution. I figure they can work it out. The legislature will probably support it, but I can't speak for the rest of the legislature.
If I could just clarify, I mean, as far as the idea of moving the tipping fee from 103 to 105, we could urge the board to do that. We could say that that's what we as a legislature support, but that's entirely in the purview of the board. What would be entirely in the purview of the legislature, and only in the purview of the legislature, is what Leon just suggested, and that is for the legislature could adopt a policy saying, we are going to take over ownership of those boxes, and we are going to take over hauling. I'm not saying that's what we're going to do. I'm saying that would be a legislative decision, and that would take it off of both books. That would take it off the RA books, and it would take it off of the town's books. If I could just finish my thought. I'm not sure what the answer is, but in talking to Supervisor Chipman for a few minutes before the meeting, and what you just said at the start of your comments, and for me, the biggest takeaway is the big picture that you spoke about. I think we are talking about Band-Aids to the problem. When I supported flow control, I said it, that I was supporting it as a piece of a larger picture, which included flow control of regulated recyclables, which included siting a landfill, either heat locally or regionally, which included kinds of systems that we visited as a committee over the last two terms of this committee. And more, and I've said it in talking to Krista, that I really think we need to organize some of those trips for the entire legislature, because when I think it's really amazing for a legislator to see a place like Oneida Herkimer. I mean, the last place we saw was mind-boggling, but Oneida Herkimer is a system probably similar to what we might be able to pull together. And seeing something that's working as a whole, instead of trying to temporarily fix these problems, budget and otherwise, because the budget is one aspect of a problem. What you talked about, the thousands of miles we're trucking every year, is another aspect of the problem. So I don't know if this committee is of a mind to make a specific recommendation. And we have to hear more from the board right now, but to make a specific recommendation to the board. Leon, is your right now the board's position after talking to the supervisors would be the ideal would be to ask the county to take over the boxes and the
that would be my personal I am not personally in favor of raising the tipping fee.
Sure, you know what, listen, the executive office as much as can.
My suggestion would be, if the legislature doesn't come up with anything, or I don't think we have to, is to do what Carl says, Supervisor Chipman, and your proposal, and at the end of the year, the county's responsible, we back those bonds. If there's not enough money, we got to write the check no matter what, so it doesn't have to be. And if you're sure, the county pays at the end of the day. If flow control was thought out the right way, we wouldn't be sitting here 1 year and 6 months after its implementation trying to figure out why rates are going up high, why we're short money. Just implement it. Help the towns out. It keeps them going.
Implement what?
I would say the county takes over the...
But the board can't direct us to implement something, so...
They do what I mean. Let them just do it. They do what? Or the county... Don't charge them.
But that's what I'm saying. Their budget doesn't propose not charging them. They would have to change their budget,
change their budget,
not charge them, and charge us a net service fee.
At the end of
that's
the
year. That's what the board would have to do.
They can do that.
Right. That's totally.
That would be my suggestion, because you know what? Like I said, the other day, it's the taxpayers. And I think the taxpayers got hit on trash costs enough last year, and the towns are going to get hit this year either way, no matter what happens. And this way, it helps out. It doesn't solve the problem, but it's a good way.
and the county saved $3 million last year. They're going to save $3 million. That's $6 million in 2 years. They can't come up with $300,000 or $400,000. Shame on them.
We need to get a sense of where the board is at. You met with the group of the supervisors,
right?
But have you met with the board?
No.
So that's going to be an important meeting and discussion. That's next week.
Right.
Okay. Because that's going to tell us some. It's important the entire board input, obviously, since the board is going to move on something like this.
I do want to comment on that, and I want to say that the agency was created by law so that there would be an entity to focus on solving the solid waste problem. I would hate to see that be brought back to, say, DPW. You know, if they're going to do the hauling of the recycling, then is the agency going to keep a fleet for just the garbage, and or is all the hauling going to go to DPW? I mean, essentially, if the county starts doing the hauling, then what is the purpose of the agency other than to be a planning body? And I think there was good reason for the creation of the agency. I think that with the exception of the fact that we don't have a major source of revenue like a landfill in the county that would do away with the need for net service fee and would be able to, fund all of the expenses, we have a very good system. The question is how to make that system as efficient and cost-effective as possible. I think there were a lot of good ideas suggested. I'm personally not in favor of the county taking over the real functions of the RRA. I think it was a good reason to create a separate entity.
I just want my last comment. So I think the agency is run efficiently. I think they do a great job. The issue to me is they can't cut when you're. And we all know this. When you're spending $8 million running trucks every day to Seneca Falls or Seneca Meadows or wherever you're running it to, at the end of the day, it's all taxpayer money, whether it's a net service fee, whether it's higher rates for your at the transfer station, whether it's higher rates to your private hauler. It's all the same exact dollars. It just depends who you're paying those dollars to. And my feel is, if the county's paying those dollars, there's a little more watch on the cost as to the private haulers. They're, like you said, we raised rates last year 5%, they jacked up prices 15 or 10%. The county's a little more militant and strict, and we'll watch the agents, these guys have been great, but we watch the dollars a little tighter. At the end of the day, taxpayers are going to pay the same amount. It's really a moot point about, talking about cost, because the cost is the same. It's where's the money coming from? What pocket, what agency?
And before, just on this issue, before we move on to the rest of the budget or anything else you want to discuss, I want to say that I'm in agreement with Nana, just from putting it here, my two cents, in that I think that putting the hauling to the county and the ownership of the boxes to the county, in my mind, moves us further away from a whole system, starts to fracture us further. I think if we have to talk about helping the towns out financially, Rich, I think that your idea of through a net service fee or through whatever to help those are, or through raised ticket fees, those are, to me, that's viable alternatives within the system. But moving a portion of the system out to the county, to me, pushes us further away from my goal of having a full working system.
Maybe it'll make people work harder to come up with a solution.
Well, I think if there's a net service fee, that would be the case too.
Yeah.
Well, we're not done discussing the budget, are we? Or is that the whole thing?
I don't want you to lose sight of our stakeholders. Our stakeholders are the users of the system. And I get a lot of phone calls to meetings. If we're going to raise rates, I know Leon mentioned at the supervisor meeting last week that we're going to need a backing from the legislature and from the supervisors. Because if you're going to raise rates, the person in this room is going to really hear it in me. Because I get screamed at. And when those rates went up, The haulers are putting notices in with the girls to call me. Tim Rose, take a screen at. All right. So I'm going to need to say, call your legislator, call your town supervisor, because we're going to go down that road. That's one thing. Don't lose sight of the stakeholders either. I had a phone call from an 89-year-old woman. It was probably the end of July, beginning of August. She's not able to use her transfer station because she's too feeble to use it. She can't throw all the garbage in a car. Maybe the transfer station, she has to use a hauler. They should be taking a little bit of garbage in the car. She told me it's on the phone. And put her on a filter. And wheel it out to the end of the curb. So if you're going to raise the rates, that's the people you're going to hit. I just want you to know that. And you can't lose sight of these. It's a city Kingston that you're going to hit. You're going to go from 103 miles to 105 to the city Kingston. That's the other big chunk you got to think about. So you got to look at all these things and how it's going to affect going from 103 to 105. And it will affect your city Kingston. So right now they're saying 103. And then it's in the proposed budget. So...
Well, everybody is right now in the proposed budget.
In the proposed budget, in the draft budget, everybody said 103. So, that's a fine idea, but you got to take some of those things into consideration. If we're going to raise the tipping fee. We're working very hard to not get any more black eyes. Believe me, I work extremely hard not to get any black eyes. And working really hard to get good press. And if I can just say this, we work diligently on video commercials over to get good press. And if we raise the rates, we're going to get really hit hard. Look, the rates go up again.
$2
a ton, you think that'll... Oh, yeah. It went up three last year. Yeah, I got slammed. Went from 100 to 103.
Oh, yeah.
And I got phone call after phone call on the radio fix. Yeah, believe me. And I don't mind it, but what I do have a problem is that we've come up with a balanced budget that I don't have to, we can have good press. And I just heard that from over the weekend, somebody I ran into when I was out shopping. Said, we've really got some good press. You guys are really keeping that cross under control.
And I think we're doing the darn best we can. It will do that. So. Now that you have a draft budget, are you able to project, you know, plug it into that formula, or is it still too early?
We should have that within a week.
Okay. That servicing, we only get that between the third and fourth week of September. That letter usually goes out. And the reason for it is because the way it's set up in the contract, it goes September 1st to August 31st.
Yeah.
It's a really strange, it doesn't follow the fiscal budget.
Okay.
And so what we have to do is we have to wait for all the invoices come in through August, and our controller is waiting. He has a pretty good idea. He's already done some preliminary calculations, which I'm not going to share right now because it's preliminary. But he's waiting for some additional invoices to come in, and he has a pretty good idea what those are. So the typical net servicing layer that goes out over the past couple of years is, you know, this is the net service fee according to the contract, and we provide the calculation with that letter, which you'll be copying on. And this is what in the past it would say, the net service fee calculation is $2.5 million, however, we only need $1.5 million to keep operating. In the past couple of years, it's been the net service fee is, I think last year's was $650,000, and the contract says, we're not asking for a net service fee this year, because we're able to balance the budget, so.
Well, technically, it's catching up with us today. If they gave us $600,000 last year, we wouldn't have that issue today with the towns. I'm not blaming you for it.
There's always been a tremendous amount of pressure on the agency to keep that net service fee as well. I mean, that political pressure as well.
But it's gone from $3 million to zero. To go to $300,000 is not a hardship. $3 million to zero? Come on. To go to $300,000 is still $5.7 million lower than, or roughly, or whatever it is, lower than we were. That money has been spent on other programs and stuff, and taxpayers didn't get that money back. They spent on other stuff, so. All right. Thank you.
Anything further on this?
Tracy, you hit the nail on the head when you talked about the big picture. When we did flow control and we knew that the next step should have been siting a landfill. Recently, we took two tours. Oneida Herkimer and Delaware County, and you were there. Oneida Herkimer just moved their tipping fee from $80 a ton to $59 a ton because they have their own landfill. Delaware's tipping fee is zero. It's paid for by 1% of the sales tax because they have their own landfill. We will never be masters of our own financial destiny unless we cite a landfill. And I've been an advocate of that right from day one.
I totally agree with you.
Thank you.
Are you ready to spend another $25 million?
Well, let me get a committee, get the executive, put some people on a committee, and seriously look at it.
Okay.
Come there.
I absolutely agree
with you. Should write it on the
board. It's there. And we should include the supervisors.
I agree. And it should include executives and supervisors from other counties that are close to ours, regional. You should include everybody. Like, are you not talking about
that? Absolutely.
You
have
to get
done.
You have to come in and look into it.
Right.
Right. I will bring something to the table next.
Start with the DEC.
No, you're right. It's a north attack, but there almost can't be a more important one, actually, in terms of impact to all the residents of this county. I couldn't even...
But why didn't we cite one 19 years ago?
Because of politics.
Because of politics.
But if you look at the county map, there are 90 areas that have a landfill. Okay. That is also right.
That's your responsibility. Well, Jeanette, you're actually also right, because Oneida Herkimer was running a parallel path, and their board, as you recall from the meeting, suffered a lot of the same political pressure. We heard about board members who said that they had garbage thrown at their homes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And, they stuck it out, and now they're displaced. But you know what? Times are different now. Many of the opponents to the landfill back then might be supporters now, just for environmental reasons. And
not what they were.
No, landfills are not what they were. The environmental impact of driving our garbage so far away and the financial cost.
The cost.
And let me say, point out one other giant mistake we made last time, and that is everyone, can we have one conversation? Everyone, one conversation, please.
How many years ago to get it approved?
One conversation. The other mistake that we made last time is that, and I wasn't here, maybe no one at this table was here then, as a legislator, but one of the other mistakes is that I don't think that there was an aggressive attempt to include the buy-in of the host community. The sites were looked at as if, here's a site, this one works, and we all know what happens. We all know what the community said. We I hope, have learned from that and would never just say, here we are, whatever town, you know.
We're taking over.
Sorry, we're back. Yeah. So, the matter of fact, it's going to involve discussions. And you're absolutely right, Rich. We may start working right away on getting a committee together, not a subcommittee of this committee, a committee involving the supervisors, involving the executive's office, involving other executives.
State assembly steps, you know, absolutely. It should be everybody. It should be everybody. Yeah. We all represent the same people.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Great. Yeah. Good. And you're going to come up with this. Well, I feel like we're cutting your whole budget short because I know...
Tracy, just one other thought. And I had this conversation with the county executive. I asked the question, how many towns, of the 20 towns in Ulster County, has an average income below the national poverty level? And he said six. Six towns in our county have average income levels below the national poverty level. At a time when we're shipping $8 million a year into the North Country, this is ludicrous. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Go home, watch football.
Okay.
Okay. Moving on. Okay, what's the date of your next meeting? Just so we have it in the record.
Monday.
Monday the 22nd. Monday the 22nd. And that's at 5:30?
5:00.
Okay, moving on. The program pipeline update. This is going to be very brief. Jen Metzger could not be here tonight. Thank you.
Can we maybe say that?
Yeah, it's going to be 2 seconds. Jen Metzger could not be here tonight. I circulated to Krista the issue paper.
I'm sorry.
I circulated the issue paper. Manas is going to give us
a one-minute update. Thank you, Charlie. A one-minute update, and Jen will be our next meeting. So, Manas,
do brief.
Very good. The one-minute update is that this is Fossil Crude is extremely toxic material. We've had a presentation about that for the railroads and the barges and tankers. Putting it in a pipeline makes it no safer, and this pipeline will essentially parallel the thruway, so it'll go through, you know, Gardner and New Falls, Rosendale, you know, it's right up in Kingston, sorry, that whole, wherever the thruway is, and you know, people would think, well, burying it makes it more safe. But Jen has done some amazing research to show that the spills and the explosions and the dangers, and this is not an existing pipeline like the Algonquin or some of the others that they're intending to expand. This is a brand new pipeline right through our community, and I'm going to let her explain it more. But because it's, you know, essentially bisecting the county, I think it's important for this committee to look at it and look at the potential impact.
So if everyone can just have a look at that issue paper before next meeting, that would be great. And Jen Metzger will be at our next meeting.
It's also very early in the process, rather than trying to do something at the 11th hour. They're just barely getting permission to do surveys right now. So we could actually do something about it.
Okay, great. Thank you, ma'am. Okay, moving on. We have resolution number 344 and resolution 345. The first is setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 12 of 2004-14, a local law regulating the use of polystyrene foam disposable food service whereby food service establishments in Ulster County. And the second is setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 13 of 2014, a local law regulating the use of polystyrene foam disposable food service ware and requiring the use of biodegradable or compostable food service ware by chain food service establishments in Ulster County. Do you want to move on both?
I think these are public hearings, and they're going to have separate. I think you should move them separately.
Okay.
Yeah, just say it'll take a few seconds.
Let's just talk about them first. Okay.
We may not move.
Well, we got to move them. We're moving for discussion.
Yeah, okay.
That's right.
So that's right. One issue is Jeanette would like to be out of here in 25 minutes, so I don't know if you want to take them out of my morning order. Do you want to take them out of order, or do you want to be here for the full discussion of both? Maybe they might take more than 25 minutes.
Let's move them
just for the purpose of discussion right
That's
now.
Fine.
Together.
That's fine.
Can I get a motion to move them together for discussion? Second.
Okay. Because my comments are really very simple, and Nana Jo and you and Tracy already know. I think the committee should know why we got to where we got to the resolution. I had been Army New York State government site, somehow or other I got into Albany County, and lo and behold, I came across this local law that they passed, regulating the use of styrofoam, and it was for chain food service establishments. And that, for me, that kind of, you know, hurt me up a little bit because, as I said to Tracy, I can remember way back, I think it was in 1993, the League of Women Voters had meetings all over the county about the terrible styrofoam cups and how bad it was. And it all just, well, I don't know why the federal and state government doesn't do something about it, but obviously they never did, and they probably aren't going to. So this resolution was something I could live with. It had to do with chain food service establishments, the large ones that have 15 or more across, you know, the country that are here and off the county. I don't support it affecting the local restaurants. I didn't want to hurt, in simple language, the little guy, you know, trying. It's a tough business, restaurant business. And you see them opening and closing just about every couple months. And there is cost here. If you go to the styrofoam, I have found a site here where it said it's $25 per 1,000 biodegradable and 100 for 1,000. I'm sorry, styrofoam is $25 per 1,000. Biodegradable is $100 for 1,000. Everything I've looked at says the cost is at least two times as much or more. I had called Tracy, what I had wanted to really do, since I really had put in this, without putting it in the legislature, I'd sent it to a couple of the legislators 4 months ago. I had wanted that I'd asked Tracy if she'd allow my resolution that I had in originally to come to this committee. And if she had the support for her amendments to go as far as hers does, as a sponsor, I would not stop it. I would not support it because I believe it hurts the small business guy. Albany County, there are Democrats that pushed this law. It was Democrats that sponsored it. And they made, in their presentation, they said the reason they didn't include the local restaurants was because they thought it could very well hurt them. And they didn't want to do that. They said they were hoping that the chain stores having to do this could possibly bring the cost of the biodegradable down and make it easier for the smaller guy to purchase it. And they also had, they didn't have language in the bill, but in their comments, they had hoped that when this passed for the chain store, that most then of the restaurants would follow suit without mandating it. So that's where I am. That's why mine is here. This is the best for the account.
Did you guys work together on this at all, or sit down and, I mean, did you give it to them before? Show Tracy.
I gave it to her 4 months ago.
Yeah, I
gave this to Tracy. Okay, Joanna, Joe, and I.
So that's the main sticking point between the two.
What happened? Yeah. If I can just back on what Jeanette's saying is, Jeanette sent a copy of Albany County's law to me and asked if it could come to committee. And said she was interested in putting it to our committee and asked us if I wanted to sign on. And at that time I said to Jeanette, please don't send it to committee because Mary and I have been working on something for years. So we've been waiting for the right time. We did not think there was the support last term. And then we all sit down. And we sat down and we talked about, I brought a giant pile of papers. We talked about the differences and that Mary and I wanted something more comprehensive. At that time, Jeanette, exactly as she said now, was reluctant to expand anything beyond the chain food establishments. And prior to this resolution deadline, Jeanette said, I want to move on that. I want to move on the resolution. I said, let me send you the changes that we discussed. And once we got it,
She said, right, I can't change it that you would have liked to see. We didn't agree on
it. No, I didn't say, I said discuss, not that you agreed. Yeah. Absolutely correct. And then I sent this to Jeanette, and Jeanette said, I can't support those changes. And then it was the night before.
Yeah.
That was right there.
Okay.
So that's why they're both here. I want to say, first of all, that the prices, I've done a lot of research about the prices, and I will bring more research because I've called our local suppliers and talked to Mary about this at night, our biggest local suppliers to restaurants, and I'm waiting for their list. I gave some in the packet of relevant costs. The prices that Jeanette's looking at are probably accurate if you're requiring that the alternative be biodegradable or compostable. Those are very expensive products. But Mary and I made a conscious decision in our version not to require that the alternative be biodegradable or compostable because it could be something that you recycle. It could be something that you could reuse. So we're not saying that the alternative has to be one of those biodegradable or compostable products. I feel, and I know Mary does very passionately about this, about polystyrene foam as being a bad product for many, many reasons, not the least of which is that it's not practically recyclable. It is not biodegradable. It is not reusable. It is an environmental hazard, and it's a health hazard, which is not one of the main reasons in the resolution that we brought it up, but it is certainly a concern. And because of all those reasons, we didn't want to simply apply to the change of establishments. I think I'm, just speaking for myself, I'm really proud that we live in a county that doesn't have a tremendous amount of change food establishments. When we started to really look at it, and after my last conversations with Jeanette, I went in the Ulster County phone book and looked up all the chain food establishments, and I'll provide this information. And I called all of them to ask what they're using. And more than half of them aren't using polystyrene foam. McDonald's has been on sort of the cutting edge of the phasing out polystyrene foam for a long time. And last year, their shareholders voted to force corporate to stop the use of the cups, which is their last remaining investment. So 2015 is committed to no polystyrene foam. But I'll provide a breakdown of the chain food establishment. I wanna say, I think I speak for Mary too, which you'll say that the draft of the proposal that we put in, I think is, though she might disagree, I think is much better because of Jeanette. Because we, Jeanette's reservations forced us to make compromises in the resolution. In the resolution, we have allowed for exemptions for financial, which we'll get to in a second, Kevin, for financial need, and we've also allowed for a rollout, which right now is we picked arbitrary dates because we don't know exactly when this is going to go through yet. So those dates, that's open for discussion. I think there's a lot of information to digest. I only brought a little bit today, and there's a lot to discuss. This has been a long meeting. I just want to also put up, because I should have said it earlier, I spoke to Legislator Ronk, who apologized for not being here, but he said that his opinion or his wish for these two resolutions and the one we did postpone was he was hoping for more time to work on them all. So that's Legislator Ronk's take at the moment. I called Kathy, Rich, and asked him to start a review of ours for legal. After talking to Kathy, I also called B and asked her to start a review of ours for legal, which we're going to need to have those conversations down the road as well. There is one definitive minor change in our resolution that maybe I would even want to make today, or if we're going to postpone as a whole, then we can make all the changes at once. I think we need to open it for comments from
the one change.
The one change in resolution 344, 45,
is on page, again, this is not probably the last change, but it's definitely one. Is section 6, which is page 5 of the law, enforcement and notice of violation. The commissioner of health or designee shall have primary responsibility to strike the word primary. He just made the point that should not be vague, should be plain.
Just a couple legal things. They're very different resolutions, local laws, in their scope. Yours is much, much, much broader, and they know that's intended. But a number of little things that people should just be aware of. The January 1st, 2015 date for section 4, yours,
okay.
Is very soon.
Yep. That's like I said, it's very soon.
And what it does affect, in for example, no county facilities, county managed concessions, county sponsored events. That's really soon for, like, people probably have already purchased stuff already. Just that's a really quick turnaround. the permit part is very broad. So any permit, any health permit, if you're getting a permit from the county, you're getting a health permit, this would cover. And I'm not saying that's illegal, or I'm just saying it's very broad.
Say that again? Section
G, no county facilities, county managed concessions, county sponsored events or county permitted events. So for some reason I'm going up.
Oh, I got you. Yeah, no, that's a good point.
That just the other really broad part, and I may be wrong, but my reading of it, I've read it a bunch of times, this would apply to churches, synagogues, anybody having a fundraiser dinner, this would apply. And I'm not saying that's bad.
Where it would take
correct. Whether it's take that food, I'm not saying it's bad, I'm just saying it applies. So that's pretty broad. The only part that is legally interesting, kind of, from a, you have a number in section B, the number 300,000. Quite frankly, I don't think there's going to be any constitutional challenges to your local law. If there were, and it were, one of the things that could challenge, and I'm not saying they'd be successful, they could challenge the $300,000 number as being arbitrary. And in other words, they would say, well, why isn't it $274,316.11 or $813,000? They might say, we fall $1 over that, and we want to know where you come up with that number. You would, under those circumstances, probably have to have what's called a rational basis for that number. I don't know that you could come up with a rational basis. I think you probably could. But the difference between, and I did check, because I know my counterpart in Albany County, I checked with him. He happened to be there. He's no longer there now. He happened to be there when their resolution was passed. And as far as he knows, there are no challenges to it in Albany County. But that's Jeanette's version.
When did it take effect? The end of 2013.
Right. It's been about a year, he said, almost a year.
Yeah.
And he knows of no challenges or any problems. But he's no longer in the position that he thought he would have heard. That being said, they're just two very different, although they're the same subject matter, they are two very different resolutions or local laws.
I would propose postponing both, similar to our earlier sessions, for next month for further discussion, and in that month I expect to get the rest of legal questions answered and also any other questions. I have not yet had a chance to talk to all legislators. I would expect this time to talk to both caucuses and get feedback prior to putting it to a public hearing. That would be my recommendation.
I just want to back up 1 second and ask, is the 300,000 definition only in resolution
The 344, not the 345?
Yeah, the 300,000
is to define financial hardship.
So the 300,000 came about as a result of discussions with Jeanette. Not to say that Jeanette suggested it, but in our discussions with Jeanette, where it was apparent that Jeanette was uncomfortable with, as she stated earlier, hurting the little guy, mm-hmm. even though I think we can show you that there are viable financial alternatives that are within fractions of a penny for the same product, we wanted to say, okay, if there really is somebody that is going to be put out of business over fractions of a penny, then we wanted to allow for a mechanism for them to be able to apply for an exemption. I also included in the packet a sample of an exemption form because other municipalities have put in exemptions. So it's not in the big packet, but it's in your folder. There's a sample of an exemption request form from another county. So we'll see how that might work out.
Did you intend, I don't know the answer, you mentioned egg cartons and meat trays.
No, they're specifically exempted.
Okay.
Anything that's for takeout for preparation off site is not included.
And you intended that?
Well, yes, raw meats they're not covered under this law. It's prepared food only. So I'm grateful to Jeanette that we're having you on.
You could throw them all in the county landfill you guys are planning.
Although I want to note for the record that legislative parity has a dire point.
You're a small restaurant business. I think it's very intrusive. You want someone in there, you know. I think there's an easier way you could have done it, like Albany County did, recognizing that, giving them time to adjust to it, and then maybe go back in a year or so and include a local restaurant. That's exactly what they did.
Maybe what they do.
Well, I don't know. I don't think she's going to do that, but I don't know.
Yes,
I'm prepared. But the thing of it is, I mean, look, I'm not going to be a crybaby about this. I wrote this resolution 4 months ago, and out of respect for them, I held on to it. And now, my resolution is over here, and we're talking about a completely new resolution. You know,
I'm fine.
Thank you. You know, so I'm at the mercy of the committee. Whatever you decide to do, I have no control over it. I'm not going to pull my resolution.
No, that's fine. I mean, Tracy is, nobody's trying to railroad it.
We're not going to.
But there's nothing
wrong with mine.
I have to hold mine. But respectfully, a couple of members think that it doesn't have enough teeth. Mm-hmm. And so, they could say, we like ours better, we're voting no on yours. They're not doing that. I don't think that it necessarily means that trees isn't going anywhere. I mean, I want to read more, and I'm willing to listen to what everybody's got to say, but that's all I'm saying. It's just...
And I would respectfully ask, also, and I will, and Mary and I will reach out also, and I'm sure Jeanette is, but just in terms of our resolution, I'd like to hear, it's helpful, like, even what I just heard from Kathy, and I'm expecting that we'll meet again, and I'll get some questions. But I'd like to hear, as you're reading through, you know, do you have questions, do you have concerns, or do you want to, is there something that's going to make you feel less uncomfortable or more comfortable? And next meeting, we're gonna hash out all of this, both resolutions.
Yeah. Do we know if the restaurants have a better business thing specifically for restaurants?
It's called the restaurant. As a matter of fact,
I have a couple of questions.
The
Hotel, Restaurant,
and
Tavern Association. It's probably
gotten
smaller over the years.
Yeah,
I would assume they have a fairly large lobby in
Albany. No, but I mean, like, just in terms of local.
Well, that's what we can find. Yeah,
you know,
Coconato,
Canal, the chairman for many years, back in the day, was heavily involved with it.
No, I got them. I think a lot of people now are very conscious of environmental issues, and a lot of these restaurants are, they're smaller, but they're going here to fresh, not processed.
You know what I will do? Unfortunately, what I will do.
So a lot of the restaurants.
Okay. It's time that I have somebody to call, I think.
Not processed foods. So some of them may already be environmentally concerned.
Any other? Does anyone have any other? Okay. Any other thoughts on these resolutions at the moment?
So let me just understand the process. So Kathy has found nothing wrong with my resolution or any legality of it. So mine just sits there until you iron out yours. Is this the process?
I'm suggesting that we take no action on either while we determine what we as a committee want to do. Because if the committee wants to move something more aggressive, but I'm not sure that that's going to be what's going to shake out at the end of this discussion.
Can I ask a quick, this is just something I took out of what the discussion was we just had. Your concern was the price, which obviously important for the small guy. But I think Tracy and Mary, by not requiring more biodegradable, the price difference may not be much. Maybe theirs will come back that the price, probably not, but maybe the price will actually be cheaper to buy the plastic and the recyclables. If that's the case, you still wouldn't support it? I mean, you're kind of drawing a line in the sand saying...
No, I'm going to support what the local restaurants in the county.
There may be better products out there that our local restaurants have not been... You know, my parents used to buy block cheese and shred it themselves. They never knew until a new salesman came in that it was cheaper to buy the shredded cheese, ready the same stuff. Because sometimes there's no incentive. You're making more money off the other stuff. And the kind of then get shredded cheese out, and he's like, you're not really losing pieces of your finger and shredding cheese. It was more per pound.
We had a convenience.
So that's what I'm saying. You know, maybe
the guy in my gave you
and there were more. Or maybe more.
This price I gave you came from a sustainable...
But they're not doing biodegradable.
I understand that. But you take even a paper cup. You can even go to paper cups. Because I don't have all the technical terms for it, because I'm not that environmentally sound. But the inside of those plastic cups are worse than using a styrofoam.
I don't think that's true.
Everything I read down like you do, and then just confuse everybody and say,
I'd like to see, I appreciate that, and that's the stuff that we need to look at. I'm not opposed to it.
Can I just say one thing? Everything you can say as a pro for this, I can find a form for it. You know that.
That was our first discussion about the vehicles. Neither of them good.
I'm just going to share it with the committee. I am not going there. You know, this is a resolution that I can support. I appreciate and respect all of your opinions. You feel differently. You feel stronger. You want to include everybody. Well, if you have to vote for it, then that's the end of the way.
That's what legislative bodies do, is work together to compromise. And
but it's pretty hard to compromise when it's the first time you can't compromise.
This is the first I've seen yours, and I didn't know you were working on it for 4 months other than the discussion tonight. I didn't know you had it in January or February.
I was waiting to talk about how we were going to put it in, but listen, nobody ever puts the first draft
of a resolution in. It always evolves with more input. Every resolution evolves and gets changed at some point, especially something
we can come up with that thing possibly more awkward
Because my hope is that you know, something like this, if the greater volume of small businesses and stuff should drop the price.
The greater volume.
It's changing. No, if where they're buying their paper products and their, you know, non-styrofoam products, when a business has a higher volume going passing through, they're able to lower their prices.
Because
everybody, you know what I'm saying, if the whole county's on board, they probably, in general, that's probably something should find out too. Because their sources are the same sources.
I provided price samples and I provided price lists from out of county to show that alternatives exist that are fractions of pennies difference per unit. It's sometimes fractions of pennies less, but like I said, I've reached out to the two main providers, two restaurants. Almost everyone in the county uses one or the other.
and I'm getting their numbers. So I'll have those as well.
Can I just tell you one other question?
Yeah, of course.
I shared that the resolution, I didn't write it myself. It's one that was passed in Albany County, which is in New York State. Where did your resolution come
from? Well, I began with Albany County, and most of the changes came from Suffolk County, also in New York State, and San Jose. And other San Jose, which is in California. Also some other California districts. It really was a lot, because as you saw, I had 60, 70 examples of legislation all over the country. There is a clearinghouse of information.
I'm there. I just couldn't find any other counties.
Yeah, Suffolk County.
California went to a town city.
Tons.
The whole state of California just went to some kind of law.
There's tons of counties.
Entire states. Statewide.
I don't know. Well, the League and others were trying to push this through Shirley Cobram when she was a little more active. And when that was happening, and I distinctly remember sitting there and the industry fought it so hard that they stopped it in the tracks. You know, they had all these reasons why it would never work. And then it did start working here and there. And so I think it's a matter of exactly how we craft it, but the time is right, and it does have a really positive history, you know, and then a situation. And we can expect that, too. Whatever consensus we come to, we can expect that the industry is going to come and say all the reasons why it shouldn't. But I think at this point, it's
exciting that we're talking about it.
Yeah.
Okay, we're on to old business. I'll try to make it, thank you, Jeanette. We'll try to make it quick. Okay, so the Energy Improvement Corporation is old business. Energy Improvement Corporation, we did not put it in this package, as you see. Matt and I are still working through calling each legislator to get comments and feedback, and then we're going to get all those questions answered. I think hopefully everyone knows that Kathy Nolan was able to get a response from the Comptroller's office.
The Comptroller would not be who would make any of these decisions. It would be the State Tax Department. The Comptroller...
Ken Rose said the Comptroller, he preferred to hear from the Comptroller than God himself, if I recall.
He certainly can say that, but it's not the Comptroller that would make these decisions, it's the State Tax Department.
It's the first time I'm hearing that.
Well, I think that's what Bea had also opined. And I don't think she communicated that, but I do not think there's an answer. I think that's why the Comptroller isn't really answering. Bea has written to the Comptroller. And the Comptroller has not come up with a definitive answer.
But everyone seems to be satisfied with the fact that it is on the website. And
frequently asked. Did you see that?
Yeah. So that seems to have answered that.
It seems to for me too. But we'll see, and we'll get. And there's some other very specific questions. You know, some legislators have hyper specific questions. I mean, that it's just going to amount to getting them that hyper specific answer, and others are more general concerns about liability. It should be noted, Manna informed me today that Essex County is moving forward with this. We're potentially going to be behind our own power curve that we start. You know, it's like Orange County moved on it. And
there's a reason to not pass every resolution.
No, you're absolutely right.
That's what I got to say. It's a good idea. It's going to be implemented. And you know, we're all guilty of it too on other resolutions at times. Instead of just saying, I don't want to do it. You know, if you're against it, after a while it gets to the point.
You can write into the legislation. You can write in that those type of costs, like a tax or a
put a sunset clause in.
Right. You could write it in that, you know, that they won't do that. They won't pursue certain things. It is not insurmountable by any stretch of the imagination.
Right.
We could, if they want to negotiate, we could do that.
And I think support in general, I mean, I'm saying the sense that we're able to build a coalition of support. And so we're going to, the one thing Matt and I would both request with the committee is that if committee members have any specific concerns or requests, that you let us know that. We're going to finish up contacting each and every legislator, and we'll keep the committee posted, and hopefully in short order we'll get an impact. I believe in it. I think it's a great legislative initiative. And the way I started to think about it is, you know, I see these commercials for New York State with, you know, they're paying no taxes for 10 years, all this welcoming business. And I see it a lot in the movie business, too, where movies go out of state or where they follow the whatever, whoever has the best tax rate. Sure. It doesn't matter if it works in the story, they change the story to be in that place. And this is something, you know, so there's all these things for new businesses, but this is something that can help our existing small businesses that now when we see what happens with power costs, it could make or break a business.
Local contract.
So help to keep our businesses here. And I believe in it, and Amanda believes in it, and we're both optimistic that we'll get there very soon. So that's that. Climate Smart Committee, Amanda has an update?
Yeah, just very quickly on that. We have my hope is that at our second meeting, we will bring together the other representatives from the towns and the county. Well, we're the county.